yours.
Thanks, James. Today we'll hear a talk on step 4 and 5, resentment. Please give a warm welcome to Kyle N. from Portland, Oregon. Kyle, welcome.
Come on, there we go. Thanks very much, Jared. I'm grateful to be here. And first and foremost, I am an alcoholic. My name is Kyle, and I'm from Portland, Oregon, originally from the San Francisco Bay Area. Today I'll be talking on, let's see, looks like we may have a bomber in there that just made some inappropriate comments. So just tipping off the text. Anyways, grateful to be here. And we'll be speaking on steps 4 and 5, and as they pertain to resentments. And I can assure you that resentments were a huge part of my existence as a result of early causes and conditions, i.e. family stuff and other things that happened early on that were difficult to resolve. And as a result, things were, the table was set for my disease to pounce and rule my life for many years. Anyways, my sobriety date, 7/15/02, for the math side of it, 21 years. That's even on weekends, without a drink or anything else that changes me from the neck up. I've always liked the way that that is phrased. I have always had a sponsor who has a sponsor. I have always had trusted others, people, you know, well, I won't say always, but early in the program, I gained trust in you all, not all of you all, but many of you all, and found, that, there were people that I could speak to from the heart. And that was absolutely different for me. You know, I always put on a facade. I always had to look good. And that kept me from clear understanding of what was really going on. And let's see. So besides a sponsor, I've also had service throughout my time in AA. And that has kept me in the middle of this thing. It's introduced me to new perspectives. It's introduced me to new and wonderful people. And as a result of Zoom and the amazing reaction that this program had to the pandemic, and it, turned something that looked like lemons into lemonade. You know, we got to, I get to attend meetings all around the world now, and I get to see how big and powerful this program actually is. And I can't imagine living my life any other way. You know, I always wanted to find my tribe and this group of people who practice the principles to the best of their abilities at each time, at each point in their in recovery, just like me. You know, and grateful to be here with y'all. Let me see. How do I want to do this? Well, I do have a little bit of ADD, just warning. I may bounce around a bit, but I have a sneaking suspicion that many of you will be able to follow me easily. And so anyways, I'm gonna start with a reading, and then I'm going to go into a little bit of the family history, but very brief and hopefully concise, and then get into recovery, into the solution, as we like to say. So I love that I get to speak on 4 and 5 today, because this is the fourth month, and we're at the end of the fourth month, crossing over to the fifth month, 12 months, 12 steps. And so anyways, the first reading, the first reading of the month, April 1st, April Fool's Day, which is appropriate for a fearful, egotistical alcoholic like myself, is called Looking Within. And made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And that comes from the 12 and 12, page 42. One of the things I love about daily reflections, as well as Bill sees it, is there's a lot of references to other literature. Some of the stuff is just the big book and the 12 and 12 and some, there's other things involved as Bill sees it. Table of contents has feelings, emotions, situations, and that has been really helpful for me because I need good orderly direction. I need clear information. Otherwise, I am up in my head. I'm trying to figure it out, and I usually end up going down the rabbit hole. So, speaking of which, I'm going to get back to the reading on Daily Reflections. Step four is the vigorous and painstaking effort to discover what the liabilities in each of us have been and are. I want to find exactly how, when, and where my natural desires have warped me. I wish to look squarely at the unhappiness this has caused others and myself. By discovering what my emotional deformities are, I can move towards their correction. Without a willing and persistent effort to do this, there can be little sobriety or contentment for me. To resolve ambivalent, and ambivalent means mixed feelings, I need to feel a strong and helpful sense of myself. Such an awareness doesn't happen overnight, I can assure you. And no one's self-awareness is permanent. And that I can assure you on as well. Everyone has the capacity for growth and for self-awareness through an honest encounter with reality. What a concept. When I don't avoid issues, but meet them directly, always trying to resolve them, they become fewer and fewer. And, you know, my MO was I was operating under the radar. I didn't want you to know what I was doing because I was ashamed. And I absolutely ran from any issues or, you know, jumped into the bottle of alcohol, you know, at first to either hide or numb the pain or, build up enough liquid courage to confront and overcome those issues, mainly, you know, people as well as places and things as the inventory goes into. And speaking of which, I'm going to go ahead and read steps four and five from the table of contents of the 12 and 12. So I mentioned As Bill Sees It, the 12 and 12 and As Bill Sees It are probably my favorite two pieces of literature, just because they, as I mentioned, they give me really clean, clear information. And I definitely need that. The table of contents for the 12 and 12 also boils down to the bare bones what each step in tradition is all about and the message that they were trying to carry in this book. So step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This is the synopsis, how instincts can exceed their proper functions. Step four is an effort to discover our liabilities, basic problem of extremes in instinctive drives. Misguided moral inventory can result in guilt, grandiosity, or blaming others. And I'll just say as a footnote, misguided moral inventory for an alcoholic like me means that I'm trying to do it on my own or just with my higher power. And I know that I need to do this with another person. I'll get into that a little bit more in a bit here. Anyways, assets can be noted without liabilities. This isn't just a self-bludgeoning exercise. This is also to understand, you know, our shades of gray that I have. I brought good aspects of my character into the rooms of recovery, as well as, you know, I did some horrendous stuff and had some bad aspects of character as well. But they're both there. And, you know, I'm not here just to beat myself up. Self-justification is dangerous. Willingness to take inventory brings light and new confidence. Step four is the beginning of a lifetime practice. I'm sure many of you who have been in the rooms a while have you know heard each other say, you know, I need to do a mini four step or a spot inventory on this, and that's in my opinion, the beginning of a lifetime practice. And for those of you that are new, I want to welcome you, and I hope that you hear something that resonates with you and helps you to stay and helps you to have the courage and the encouragement to get busy with the 12 steps, which have brought me a ton of enlightenment. Love this meeting. Love all the various perspectives I've gotten to hear about all the steps, and this meeting just continually cycles them. And each time I've gotten some very valuable, helpful, and inspiring information. Love this meeting. Anyways, step four is the beginning of a lifetime practice. Common symptoms of emotional insecurity are worry, anger, self-pity, and depression. Inventory reviews relationships, importance of thoroughness. And as a result, I'm pretty clear on, you know, some of the, common symptoms of my emotional insecurity. I would say that the big, you know, of the four mentioned, worry, anger, self-pity, and depression, anger and self-pity were my main go-tos. Going to go into step five and then jump into some family stuff here, and very grateful for the timer. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 12 steps deflate ego. Thank goodness. Step five is difficult but necessary to sobriety and peace of mind. Confession is an ancient discipline. Without fearless admission of defects, few could stay sober. What do we receive from step five? Beginning of true kinship with our fellows and with higher power. Lose sense of isolation, receive forgiveness, and give forgiveness. Learn humility, gain honesty, and realism about ourselves, good and bad, shades of gray. Necessity for complete honesty. Danger of rationalization. Absolutely. And I'll say justification, for me at least. How to choose the person in whom to confide. Results are tranquility and consciousness of higher power, oneness with higher power, and our fellows prepare us for the following steps. We do together what we can't do alone. So some of the things that were really difficult for me, and I know that many of you have gone through this, you know, I've heard, you know, worse stories, I've heard better stories, you know, of all the things that we've gone through. Doesn't matter, you know. No, we all got here because we knew we needed help. I know that I needed help, and I didn't, you know, I just pushed back with anger or sullen scorn or jump, you know, and that was usually hand in hand with diving in the bottle. Anyways, some of the stuff that went down in my family, my parents divorced when I was four. Dad was the alcoholic. I got the gene. Brother didn't. Mom did her best to keep things going. Dad was a no-dough, no-show kind of guy. Mom worked three jobs. Her parents came to help raise us. My grandmother was a beautiful, kind, loving, spiritual woman. And my grandfather was different from that. Anyways, let me see. Yeah, a few things happened in succession. First, my grandparents were we moved after the divorce. We moved into public housing, My grandparents were also living there in the public housing as well. And they were crossing the street in the crosswalk in front of the housing and were run down, ironically, by a carload of people coming back from a midday cocktail party. How about that? Anyways, my grandmother was seriously injured. Her pelvis was shattered, and some other things. And my grandfather just got cuts and bruises. What happened because of our financial state was they became wards of the county and were placed in separate rest homes. And I certainly felt that that was absolutely, I mean, not only them getting run down in the crosswalk, but how could you not keep them together in such, you know, such dire circumstances? Anyways, another thing was to keep me out of trouble, I had been involved in sports. My mom got me into both theater and sports. I thought theater was fun and cool, but I also got teased a lot. So I decided I wanted to be a tough guy and get into sports and stuff. And sports also helped me to resolve some anger issues. Anyways, I love soccer. I played in college. I played club ball, and I was going to try and take it as far as I could, but I blew my knee out and had to have it reconstructed. And that was the immediate and sudden end of a long love relationship with that sport. My grandmother, after she got run down in the crosswalk, she faded very quickly. She died about a month later, and my mom and I had not been on good terms for quite some time because my alcoholism in my late teens, early 20s was starting to blossom. And I wanted to come. My mom called me, let me know my grandmother was probably going to pass in the next few hours. She had a fever, and anyways, I went to see her. And my mom disowned me on my grandmother's deathbed. That was difficult. Those were some of the things that really caused me to, I don't know, you know, be a victim, play the victim card, poor me another. Anyways, we were not in touch for about 4 or 5 years. We started to get some therapy sessions together. And then she died suddenly day before Mother's Day of a brain aneurysm. Went to a grief counselor. Grief counselor on Memorial Day weekend drowned. He was fly fishing and wasn't a good swimmer. Anyways, felt like the bottom was dropping out. I had definitely moved into, I was always a big music fan. Punk rock was a big part of my story, and that I was able to exercise some anger, and things were difficult, a lot of people around me dying. I just hit it harder and harder, and knew I needed to get out. I took a hostage. I got married, but there were terms. My lovely ex-wife wanted to have a child, get a house, and have a high-paying, high-pressure job to take care of it all. That's what I needed to do if I was going to participate in this thing. Okay, which I initially agreed upon. I would say anything at that point because I was looking for a way out. That all started falling apart as the pressure built. We had a wonderful daughter together, and I just, on the one hand, I felt like I was too good for this situation. On the other hand, I felt like I didn't deserve this situation. That was my alcoholic, you know, ego and lack of self-worth going back and forth. I acted out. I cheated on her. I got caught. We went into marriage counseling. I got 12-stepped in marriage counseling. Marriage failed. I stayed sober. Go figure. It was huge for me. The rehab, one of the main things they were doing were, you know, owning up to stuff, talking about stuff that was going on. It was difficult for me to do at first. It would burst into tears. But I did feel some healing and understanding going on around that. They mainly pushed moved us towards the rooms of AA. And I will eternally be grateful for that, because AA was where I was introduced to the steps, obviously, and the steps, helped me with the causes and conditions and dealing with people, places, and things. And lo and behold, what my part was in the whole thing. My first sponsor, he didn't have much more time. He had 18 months. I had maybe 3 to 6 months, something like that. And we got busy. You know, his main thing was just keep moving forward through this. There was stuff I definitely did not want to put on the inventory. I did not want to talk about it. I did not want to put pen to paper. I felt like that was evidence against me and showing me what a bad and weak person I was. And my first sponsor, Bart, was a good dude. You know, he just said, "That's awesome. That's good enough. Let's keep moving. Next step is." That trust, which began with me and him on our knees saying the third step prayer, you know, that was, and him talking honestly and openly when we started doing 4 and 5 together about stuff that he had done and gone through and was ashamed of. And that, you know, he's was using the program moving forward towards 8 and 9 to, you know, clean some of that stuff up. All this stuff was really important for me and really helped me to be as fearless, thorough, and honest as I could. Some of you have heard, like, I've had the opportunity to do the steps a few times now, and each time a little more fearless, a little more thorough, a little more honest. And, you know, there's various grades of, like, you know, holding myself accountable and being honest with myself, like, maybe I'm not ready for this yet, you know, because I wanted to be accountable. I wanted to be responsible, which was something I hadn't been before. But I also knew that, I was, what shall I say, emotionally sensitive and, didn't want to rock the boat too fast, too hard. You know, I think that each of our journeys has been different. I've experienced that as a result of attending many meetings and hearing a lot of different people talk about things in their lives that I absolutely could relate to. So I like to say, you know, that whole thing, rationalization, justification, I always wanted to give myself a pass and bury you. You know, as I'm looking at this stuff in the inventory, and starting with the help of my sponsor and trusted others as I'm approaching them and talking to them about the inventory process, both written and verbal, in my opinion, 4 and 5. And, you know, just trying to do the best I can and you know, making some amazing discoveries. And as we say, you know, this process can be described succinctly as uncover, discover, and discard, and the things that don't serve me, you know, and some of the things that don't serve me, some of my there's character aspects I've heard said, and some in my past were survival tools, and then some became unsuitable anymore because I wasn't living that same life. I've had an opportunity to shift into a world that is an adult world. And as I've heard said, you know, by many, and I absolutely am one of those people, I grew up in the rooms of AA, you know, and I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity. You know, I could have continued to suck my thumb and shake my rattle and scream at everybody that was doing me wrong. But, you know, I've had the opportunity to say things like, "You might be right." And, you know, also, you know, take that stuff back to sponsor, trusted others, and say, you know, what are your thoughts on this? Is this something that I need to work on? Yeah, you might want to do a spot check inventory on this. So let me see. Gonna just check my notes here for a minute. Keeping an eye on the time. And let's see. Yeah, so my first sponsor, Bart, moved, and so he suggested that I get another sponsor, and I was always willing to follow suggestions, you know, like, and if I did think that a suggestion was unreasonable, you know, I made plenty of friends. I mean, at first I was, you know, I was isolating like many of us do, but I was listening. I was still like reading the room and figuring out if you people were a cult or were something that people were really finding relief from and being able to grow. And I found out that the latter was true. And I also got, and I see I'm at five. Thank you, Bridget. And I got to, yeah. Anyways, do things like follow suggestions. And I took on my second sponsor, John F. And, you know, early on, you know, and I told him, hey, we don't have to do the steps because I already did them. And he said, well, guess what, champ? Here's the deal. If you want to work with me, we are going to do the steps again. And the reason that we're going to do the steps again, not only is to get to know one another, because how much more intimately can we get to know one another through working the steps together, but also so that hopefully, you know, you find a little bit more relief, i.e. a little more fearless, a little more thorough, a little more honest. You know, there was stuff when I first came in here that I was taken to the grave, and I wanted to maintain what I thought was look good. And as I found out later, people were just being kind to me, but I was a freaking wreck, you know, and I was a mess. And a lot of people just stepped back and avoided me in the disease. I have a host of friends here in the program now that I can count on, that can count on me. And that was something that I was always looking for, but never knew how to find. I can absolutely say that AA and the people in it, and as a result of doing the work in the program, as it says in step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, my spirituality came together as well. Like, there were so many things I had no clue were going to happen before stepping into these rooms. And in spite of my best efforts to like prove this wrong and to prove you all wrong, I found out that this was one of the most beautiful gifts that I could ever have achieved. And I just want to say that, you know, our founders, there we go, third time's a charm, Bill W. and Dr. Bob, I like to call our practical proctologist and our poetic pitch man. You know, they gave me the 2x4 upside the head as well as the TLC to continue moving forward with this thing. And that's absolutely what I've needed on this journey. And this continues. I'm so very grateful to be able to talk a little bit about this with you. I'm going to wrap it up with today's daily reflection. I do see that I have cats are banging around in the background, little loving imps. And so anyways, April 25th is entering a new dimension. In the late stages of our drinking, the will to resist has fled. Yet when we admit complete defeat and when we become entirely ready to try AA's principles, our obsession leaves us and we enter a new dimension. Freedom with our higher power as we understand higher power. And that's from As Bill Sees It, page 283. Love the references. That's part of my spiritual journey through the literature. I encourage you to check it out, both Daily Reflections and As Bill Sees It. I am fortunate to be among the ones who have had this awesome transformation in my life. One day at a time, I have a daily reprieve. When I entered the doors of AA, alone and desperate, I had been beaten into willingness to believe anything I heard. One of these things I heard was, this could be your last hangover, or you can keep going around and around. The man who said this obviously was a whole lot better off than I. I liked the idea of admitting defeat, and I have been free ever since. Once again, daily reprieve, one day at a time. My heart heard what my mind never could, taking it out of the gray matter black and white, pen and paper, putting it down and being honest with myself. I'm lying to myself or being honest with myself. Yeah. And as a result, I am free and grateful, one day at a time, contingent on the maintenance of my program, spiritually and otherwise. Love this group. Love y'all. Happy Thursday. Thanks for the opt to be a service. Peace.
Thanks, Kyle.